by Dr. Marty Dee Harwood. And interesting stats coming today from the South Auckland GP, Auckland University Associate Professor. Do you know what? There are more than a quarter of a million Pākehā unvaccinated, or that as of a few days ago. Marty Dee, thanks for joining us on Pākehā Waha again. Tēnā koe.
Morena.
This is a staggering number as well. Everyone's pointing the finger at our people, but perhaps they should be looking in the mirror. Many who are doing that, a quarter of a million unvaccinated Pākehā. Where did you pick these stats up from, Marty Dee?
So we got those figures actually from the Ministry of Health. So it's good to have that sort of data by ethnicity and be able to see where it was. When they did become apparent to me, though, I have to be honest, it was a surprise. I've been focused on the Māori data and the Māori numbers and just wanting to make sure I get those up. And it wasn't until they were brought to my attention and I thought, well, that's interesting because we're being used as a bit of a scapegoat, I think. I think we've borne the brunt of further racism based on the narrative that our rates are really low. But as you said, the numbers actually show it's more Pākehā.
Well, we have to take population into consideration as well. But is that vaccine hesitancy? What would you... I mean, we're trying to understand our own stats. You and I have been talking them through for some months now, but... is there any explanation as to why a quarter of a million non-Māori Tauiwi Pākehā have decided that the vaccination is not for them?
To be honest, I'm not sure that many people have looked at why those numbers are so big. But I think as we start to get to the end, sort of in that the last 10% to be vaccinated, we know from previous vaccination data and immunisation programs that those people are the ones that tend to be hesitant and probably even more anti-vaccination.
We just on our news were reminded that the Ministry of Health, even though the High Court have said that that our Māori providers should have access to intimate data regarding health so that we can really get at our people, but it appears that government departments are still hedging their bets and keeping their cards close to their chest, saying, oh, look, you can get the information, but only the stuff that we want you to, and we're not going to share that wider information with Māori health providers. Are you aware of that, and what do you read into it?
So, I mean, I have been following that case to understand it a little bit better, because, as you say, the people who are wanting the data want to use it for good reason. We know, certainly from our experience in South Auckland, that being able to identify even at least the streets where whānau are, to be able to go there and do some door-knocking programs and support them into a vaccination is achieving outcomes. So we know having that level of data is really useful, and having people that they trust to be able to support them into vaccination is also really useful, and they're more likely to trust Māori providers to do that. So, and we also know that, you know, Ministry does provide data and that level of data to other places, including, you know, non-Māori or mainstream programs. So, you know, those of us outside of it are looking in and thinking, well, we don't quite understand the reason for it. I did see something over the weekend that around the iwi data sovereignty space, which is probably understandable, but it just means, you know, how do we support iwi and Māori providers to be able to work together to achieve a better outcome?
The level of frustration, quite obviously, is at breaking point. Yesterday we saw thousands of Aucklanders taken to the parks, the reserves, to the beaches. They'll be wanting to go to the shops. Do you think that a decision which is pending will be made with a health focus in mind, or a political one too? Because they talk of the government's social license and time is running out. But there are fears by some that if the restrictions are eased, we could have massive numbers, even suggesting there could be 1,000 a day by Christmas if restrictions are eased too much. I know there's a lot in the question. Have you got some thoughts in that regard, please, Marty Dee?
I agree with you. I do get the sense, especially now that the weather is warming up. I saw it myself after being out vaccinating all day in South Auckland and then driving home. You know, I saw the whānau and people getting together and playing touch and just wanting to be out in the sunshine. It was a beautiful day. So I do get that, and I do get that there are mental health and those sorts of things to think about. And even that socialisation, you know, that's good for our soul. It's good for our hauora. But I agree. I think we will see the levels drop and that shops will be able to open. I saw a lot of shops preparing when I went to supermarket shopping. I saw, you know, the stores around them all starting to prepare for, you know, hoping that the levels would drop and they'd start to see customers coming through. But I think with that, as you say, we will see an increase in numbers. And it's just a matter of knowing that we've got at least good vaccination numbers so that people don't become too unwell with the COVID and are not putting a huge strain on our health system, and particularly our ICU beds. As we know, almost 80 people in hospital at the moment with COVID, and that's, you know, if you think about a ward being about 20 beds, that's almost four wards of a hospital filled with people who have COVID. So we've really got to balance that. And, you know, it doesn't mean if you are worried, if you are anxious about going out, I would still stick to, you know, your current behaviour, and that's probably how I'll be acting too. I'm not sure that I'll be partaking in much shopping. I'll still be doing my click and collecting online sort of thing. Until I know that we've got good vaccination rates and I'm able to keep my own whānau safe.
Do you think we've been having enough stories of those who have contracted COVID? Because there's a lot of fear-mongering out here at the moment, but sometimes hearing from somebody who's actually gone through it can be a powerful tool to remind us of the dangers that we face. Do you think that we have had enough corded off from those who have been caught up in it?
I don't think we have. I think there are still some people that don't believe that COVID exists at one level. And then if they were to get it, I think they still feel that it would be a mild illness. And that's, you know, we know for people who are living in overcrowded homes who do have comorbidities like diabetes, asthma, high blood pressure, heart disease, you can become very, very unwell with it, and as we saw last week, pass away from it if you're not receiving the right level of care. So I think getting those stories more out there, both the illness itself, the acute illness when you become really sick with COVID, but also that long COVID. I think a lot of people who think they, you know, if they eat well and sleep well and drink enough water and, you know, are going to take that sort of natural approach to it. I don't know that they understand the idea of long COVID, and international studies say 10% of people will definitely have quite extreme long COVID where your breathing, your cardiovascular health, your brain fogginess never returns to normal, at least, you know, 18 months after having the infection. So getting those sort of stories out for people to understand the seriousness of COVID, and that if you are going to get up, please make sure you continue to wear your mask. Please continue to hand sanitise every time you're out and about or touch anything, including your own face. Keep maintaining that physical distance between people that you don't know. Just carry those sorts of things on because they're really important. COVID is not a mild illness, and we to take care of ourselves and our whānau.
And just finally, and thanks for your time today, Martiri. Look, you're a doctor, and so there's an expectation that you will heal, but how frustrating would it be to have to care for those who ignored the warnings?
Yeah, I mean, I do hear that from whānau, you know, becoming frustrated when they see people who haven't taken care and you know, they talk about using up the health system, but we've got a duty of care. We'll care for anybody and everybody who has it, and certainly my experience in South Auckland, I've got quite a number of people from my own clinic who have COVID, and I went to visit them personally on Friday, and I can understand some of them were vaccinated, and, you know, was congratulating them because at least they can stay home, and at least no one else in their whānau has become infected because they were double vaccinated. So, you know, ka pai, people are still going to get COVID even though they're double vaccinated, but the risk to themselves and to their whānau is greatly reduced. So, you know, that's beautiful, and she was doing everything she could to prevent herself getting it. And so I'm not going to blame or do anything like that. I've got to provide a duty of care and continue to advocate for our whānau in South Auckland, because I know that we have borne the brunt of this, and getting access to healthcare is challenging for people. Living in those conditions that make them at risk and their whānau at risk is also challenging, and my job is to make sure that I'm doing the best I can to keep them well, and to keep them at a hospital, hopefully, and keep them alive.
Matire, as always, appreciate your thoughts and time. Nei rā te mihi kākwe.
Oh, ngā mihi.
Associate Professor and GP from South Auckland, Matire Harwood, with us on the program today.